Well, we're going to think on the fact that God is sovereign. You know, a lot of people say that God is sovereign, but they don't believe that He's sovereign in salvation. They don't believe He's sovereign in predestination. They don't believe He's sovereign over evil. They believe He's just partly sovereign in providence. And they don't believe He's sovereign in eternity. So we're going to look at that this morning. First of all, God is sovereign in providence. How do we know that He's sovereign in providence? Well, there's many passages in the Bible that talk about His sovereignty over providence. Remember, Joseph told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God was sovereign over all of the events that happened, even to the point when, He gave Joseph dreams, showing Joseph what was going to happen beforehand, and then that his brothers were going to bow down and to him, and providentially God caused events to happen and hardened his brothers' hearts towards him, and they sold him into Egypt, and he went into Egypt, and we know the story, how that he ended up being second in command over all of Egypt under Pharaoh. And there are many, many other examples of that in Scripture. God, as far as providentially, we know that God is sovereign over the weather. Okay, we see that in Job how that he caused the all of Job's goods to be destroyed by weather and catastrophe, and we see that He's been sovereign. He's over the weather. He created the heavens and the earth. He brings fire from heaven in a lot of instances down. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And we see that He is in the thunderstorms. He's in the lightnings. He's in the, we see that Jesus Christ Himself spoke to the wind and the sea obeyed Him. And so He's sovereign all over those things. He's also sovereign over catastrophes. Okay? Whether that would be bringing famine in the land, causing it not to rain, or bringing the great flood and destroying the whole world by a flood in the day of Noah. And so we see that he is in charge of the weather. If He created the universe, He can certainly determine what happens within that universe that He created. It seems to be pretty evident. There's a lot of people out there denying that God is not involved in like tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes. He basically was like a great orchestrator of the universe. He wound it up and let it go, and He's now just kind of standing back and let happen what happens. No, He's sovereign over that, over all of that. He's also sovereign over death and life. We see many times where God causes certain things to happen, where many lives are taken. 9/11 is a good example of that. People say, well, God didn't have anything to do with 9/11. Well, God could have prevented those planes from going into the towers and into the Pentagon. He could have caused certain events to happen, but He allowed that to happen. And by His very allowance, shows that He is sovereign over it. He's sovereign over life. There are many, many places in the Bible where it talks about He's in Him we live and move and have our being. The 91st Psalm, it says, He dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He should deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So, he is providentially over all of those things, and He also is providentially sovereign over our successes and our failures in life. People say, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. God doesn't. God has nothing to do with whether we succeed or fail in life. It's our own responsibility of how hard we work and how hard we put our shoulder to the plow and how disciplined we are, the disciplined life and the goals that we set. God has nothing to do with success and failure. Well, again, He has everything to do with success and failure. He can cause one event in our life to bring about our downfall. He says that he's the one that causes kings to rise and kings to fall. He says here that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. He can also cause events to happen to protect us in a manner that we have success in life. It's up to Him whether we succeed or fail. He's also sovereign over the past. Well, you say, well, how could He be sovereign over the past? Well, a lot of people say that the past things that have happened in their life is because of their parents or because of their certain things that have, you know, they have a predisposition to alcohol because of things that have happened earlier in their life, or the reason that they sexually abused their child is because they were abused as a child. All of these different things. Well, God is sovereign over the past. You know, He says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy habitation. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So God is the one that restrains evil, and He's the one that withdraws His hands from restraining evil. And that kind of brings us into the next section. He's sovereign over evil. God is sovereign over evil. Now, how do we prove that God is sovereign over evil? Well, through the Bible, we find that God, there's three examples that God uses in the Bible to show His sovereignty over evil. One would be Pharaoh. He says, for this very purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show thy power in thee, but my name might be declared throughout the whole world, earth. That's in the 9th chapter of Romans. Well, He's also used Judas as an example. He says that, I know whom I have chosen, and one of you is a devil. And He says that you're going to betray me so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay. God is sovereign over the fact that He chose Judas, knowing that Judas was going to betray Him. Esau is another example of God's sovereignty over evil. He said, the children not being yet born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We don't understand how God can be perfectly pure and just and holy and be sovereign over evil, but we know that He created elect and non-elect angels. We know that He's the one that placed the a serpent who was more subtle than any beast of the field that God had created in the Garden of Eden. And God can do anything he wants to do. That's part of him being sovereign. He can go anywhere he wants to go. He can do anything he wants to do. He can be anywhere he wants to be. He can command his people to do what he tells them to do. He is sovereign. Now, God is also sovereign in the present, right now. God is sovereign. We talked about him being sovereign in the past. But he's right now, he's just as sovereign as he's ever been. He hasn't lost any of his power. You know, there's some people out there that talk about, well, since Christ came, God has now turned over some of his power to his people. Okay? God is no less sovereign than he's ever been. Okay? He is Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning, and he's the end. So he's also sovereign over the future. Not just the past and the present, but he's also sovereign over the future. There is no timeline with God. Okay, he is sovereign over the future. He says that is part of his being God, is the fact that he is over eternity. He's over eternity. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says in Revelation 22nd chapter, I am that I am. Okay. Okay, now, God is also sovereign in salvation. He's also sovereign in salvation. Now, this is where people really get upset. You know, they say, well, you know, that's just partly true. He could not do anything if it wasn't for he part of him being sovereign. I've heard people say part of God being sovereign is that he, in his sovereignty, he gave man a free will. He would never take away man's right to choose him. Well, this is just absolutely in conflict to Scripture, because he says in Scripture, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And it also says, of his own will he beget us. And there's so many scriptures to show that God is sovereign. He is in control over who becomes recipients of salvation. He says that he predestinates us. He predestinates us. Predestinates means to predetermine what happens to us in salvation. That's what it means, to predetermine beforehand what happens to us. And it says he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, he chose us before he even created the world. That's sovereignty. This is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Okay? And so, he also is sovereign in salvation. The fact that the reason that he has not given us a free will, just think if he had stated in the, let's just say that he had given us a free will, and all the way through the New Testament it proclaimed that we all had a free will. Well, look how much boasting is going on now and lying is going on now with the Bible absolutely denouncing the fact that we have a free will. Just think how it would have been had God given us a free will. I mean, we would have really been puffed up. I mean, we got Kenneth Copeland saying he's God. We've got Kenneth Copeland saying that Adam was a replication of God on earth. We've got Kenneth Hagin saying we're little gods. We've got Benny Hinn saying that he's a little messiah. And this is with the Word of God absolutely denouncing that we're less than grasshoppers. This is with the Bible telling us that we're less than nothing. And we've got people in supposed ministries telling us that they are little messiahs. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And look at all the boasting that we have going on right now. God is sovereign in salvation. There's no question that He's sovereign in salvation. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God's the one that before ordained, if we walk in any good works at all, if we have any good works that are demonstrating that we love God, it's only because God has before ordained those good works. Okay? God is sovereign in regeneration. In the third chapter of John, we find Nicodemus coming to the Lord by night and saying, "You know, here I am. I'm one of the leaders of Israel, and I don't understand how one can come into a right relationship with God. Tell me, how can it happen? How can it happen?" And Jesus said, Jesus told him, he says, "You know," Nicodemus says, "I know that you're a teacher come from God, for nobody can do the miracles," back to God's sovereignty again, "no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus just couldn't get the picture at all. He said, "How can a man enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit." God is sovereign over regeneration. God is also sovereign in redemption. We see this. He says that by the determinate counsel of God's own will, they crucified Christ. God's the one that determined that Christ should come and die. It was a covenant that was between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Jews, yeah, they took and killed God. They killed Jesus Christ. But it was by the determinate counsel of God that he was slain. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He's sovereign over redemption. He's sovereign over all the work that transpired there on Calvary. He told them beforehand that he would come and die. And he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall I be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. He's sovereign over salvation in every way. Finally, God is sovereign in the resurrection. I mean, this is should be evident. Man had nothing to do with raising Christ from the dead. You know, Paul says if it wasn't for the resurrection, we would have no hope. That shows God's ultimate sovereignty to be able to kill himself and raise himself from the dead. That's sovereign, friend. He says, "I freely lay down my life and I freely take it up again." There's nothing that shows any more the sovereignty of God than the resurrection of Christ. I mean, here we have, that's why they were trying to propagate a lie, that the disciples had stole the body of Christ. and that this was all just a fabrication, this resurrection thing. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. And they were in great conflict with the Pharisees over this, because the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. But you know what? Christ showed them right out there in their face. How many people witnessed? Over 500 people witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they saw it firsthand. All of the apostles saw the evidence of the fact that Christ had come back from the grave. And, you know, when he showed himself to all these different people, it was downright frightening to people. They'd seen him die. They'd seen him place him in the tomb. If that doesn't show the absolute sovereignty of God, then I don't know what does. You know, during the time of the resurrection, if you recall, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Okay, that's... His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. That's sovereignty, my friend. That's sovereignty. And the angel said unto the women, "He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. He goeth before you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. There's nothing more powerful in the whole universe than to see God's sovereignty in the resurrection. So just to recap this morning, God is sovereign in providence. Okay, we see that over the fact that he's over the weather, he's over catastrophes, he's over life, he's over death, and he's over our successes and our failures. He's sovereignty in eternity. He's sovereignty over the past. He's sovereignty over the present. And he's most certainly sovereign over the future. He's sovereign over evil. And the examples that we gave were Pharaoh and Judas and Esau and Satan himself. And he's sovereign over salvation and predestination and regeneration and in redemption. And finally, he's sovereign in the resurrection. And the reason we want to proclaim his sovereignty is he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back. And when he comes back, all these people that have been so adamant about saying, "No, he's not sovereign over me. He's not sovereign over me. I'm sovereign over myself. I can reject or accept Jesus Christ." Well, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means sovereign. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we're proclaiming ahead of time, okay, by the sovereignty of God, providentially, he's allowing us to proclaim to you this very day that he is sovereign over all these things. Now, the only way that you're going to bow your knee to him, the only way that you're going to repent of your pride and your free will, the only way that you're going to come to a point where you will accept this message is if he works grace in your heart. By the Spirit of God, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. If he convicts you of your sin, of pride and stubbornness and your own sin against him, then that is a work of God's sovereignty in your heart. if he hardens your heart like he did Pharaoh, if he hardens your heart, then and continues to harden it, you are in a very grave state, my friend. So we need to examine our hearts and see, are we worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have we bowed our knee? Because ultimately we all will bow our knee before Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word that proclaims Your sovereignty over all of these things. And we pray that You would continue to help us to see that You are sovereign in life and death, in the past and the future, over the weather, over the evil, over our own salvation, and over the resurrection, and over life, over our spiritual life as well. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen.